Hands up. Anyone here last Sunday? All the holy people, you're on a streak, 2 weeks in a row. I spoke on Pick Your Path last Sunday, so we're going to continue that today, Pick Your Path Part 2. But will we pray before we hear the word of the Lord? Would you stand with me? And I'm asking you to stand. We're in the house of the Lord. We want to honour God, not just in our hearts, but in our posture. Amen.
Amen.
So if you want to close your eyes, you can feel free to do that. Or lift your hands. We do that as a sign of surrender, that God is higher than us.
Amen.
So hallelujah. Amen. Lord, before we ask you for anything, we want to thank you for everything.
Amen.
Thank you that we can come into the house of the Lord. Thank you for your love, your kindness, your grace, your mercy, your favor on our lives.
Amen.
Thank you for the blessings that we can see and the blessings that we can't see. And before we listen to your word, God, we humbly come before you and we ask for your forgiveness.
Amen.
We ask your Holy Spirit right now to search our hearts. Anything that shouldn't be there, anything in our attitudes, behaviors, even last night, this morning, over the last week, God, we come before you and we say that we're sorry.
Amen.
And we know that your precious blood washes us pure as snow. And as we listen to your word, God, for the people who have been praying and searching for you, the people, Lord, who have unanswered questions, the people who are needing to hear your voice this morning, speak to us, Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Show us your will and your ways. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall on people right now, before we say a word, that your presence would just overflow.
Hallelujah.
In their bodies, in this place this morning.
Hallelujah.
So we love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're about to do. And we bless your holy name in this place. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Give a round of applause to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Here's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's from the book of Proverbs. And it says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. It's one of my favorite verses because it summarizes what we need to do every day. Every day I need to trust in the Lord in my heart. I'm not to trust in my money. I'm not to trust in what RTE News says. I'm not to trust in what I feel. I'm to trust in the Lord.
Amen.
I'm not to lean on my own understanding. I don't know about you, but my head tells me a lot of lies.
Yeah.
And my own understanding is limited. And we know what the Bible says. God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher. So we're not to lean on our own understanding. In all your ways. It's not just picking and choosing when I want God in my life. It's in everything. So in everything, I am to submit and to surrender. That's hard. But it's a daily decision. And when I do all these things, when I trust him with my heart, when I don't lean on my own understanding up here, when I humble myself every day on my knees before the Lord, what's he going to do? He's going to make my paths straight.
Hallelujah.
What a verse. Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Every day, you pick a path. We looked at this last week. You make a decision every day. Am I following the Lord or am I not? Now, I think most of us here are Christians. Or if not, you're about to be soon. Yeah, just
Amen.
Give me a heads up. The Lord is working.
Amen.
But even for me as a pastor, there's days, if I'm being honest, I don't wake up in the morning and the first thing on my mind is to thank God. Sometimes it's the problems that are going on in my life. And we can go through days and weeks and months and even years. And when we're not choosing the right daily decision to follow God, you can drift. And there's Christians that I know who loved the Lord, who served him. And years go by and they've fallen away from God. Because every day you just drift. And God does not want that for you, amen?
Amen.
And we were here last week and we looked at two people, King Saul and King David. Y'all are with me. So if you don't know, King Saul is Israel's first king. And what happens is he loses his crown. he loses the kingdom. But David is Israel's second king, and he keeps it. And what we learned last week is the two of these men were not perfect. They made a lot of mistakes. But Saul would only go to God when he was in a crisis, and David would go to God every day. There are some Christians, and you only come to God when there's a problem. Someone is sick. You don't know where the money is going to come from. The relationship isn't working. That's not how God operates. When we come to God only in a crisis, it's like we just want an answer from God. Fix the situation, God. It's transactional. God is not a transactional God. He is not a genie. You don't make three wishes and he appears and fixes things. He's a God of miracles. He's a God that can change things in an instant, but he does not work that way. And that's what Saul did. But we learned last week, David would go to God every day. Because he was a man after God's own. That's the difference. That's the difference. So when we look at them today, bear this in mind. And we learned last week, the path you pick determines the legacy that you leave. I don't know about you, but when I meet someone who's been around the Lord, they don't have to tell me they're a Christian. I can sense it. I know it in my spirit. I remember working before the church. I was working online and I hated my job. Oh my days, did I hate my job. And I was in sales and I was based in Cork and the team was based in Dublin. And there was a guy on the team called Justice. He lived up to his name, in fairness. But we were talking. The first time I met him online over a Zoom call, and I never would say this, I'd always be very polite, but I just asked him straight out. I said, "Are you a Christian?" Because I could sense it over a phone call, over a Zoom. And he said, "I am." And I said, "There's more than that to you." And he said, "I'm a pastor's son." That was the difference. You can sense it off people, can't you? Every day you can sense it. And you get to pick a legacy that you leave. For your family, for your friends, for you. When all is said and done and you go and meet the Lord, what will people say about you? Did you love the Lord? Did you honour him with your life? Or did you just pick and choose God when you needed him? So you choose every day the legacy that you leave. And what I want to look at briefly in the time we have this morning or this afternoon is emergency faith versus everyday faith. People who don't even believe in God, when they're in accident and emergency rooms, are praying prayers. It's an emergency faith. And what blows my mind is they won't pray for anything. They won't even acknowledge a God. But when death is on your doorstep, when your world is crumbling, that's when they'll go to God. But God doesn't want us to have that. He wants us to have everyday faith. God wants a relationship with you. And here's what we see with David. He is a daily seeker of God, King David. It's not that he just spent time with God every day. He seeked him. A lot of us, we might say a prayer. We might read a verse of the day. But God wants you to seek him with all of your heart. Now, I said in the first service, if I was married, I'm not married, if you know someone. But Juvie, say a prayer there, babes. Someone get the holy water. Come on. But if I was married and I lost my wedding ring, or if I lost this watch is very important to me, I would be seeking it. I would be saying to everyone, help me find my wedding ring that doesn't exist, and help me find the watch. And it's the same with our relationship with God. When we seek God on a daily basis, you're searching. You're saying, Lord, speak into today. Speak into my situation. And just as we heard with Colin and the Seafarers, it's not just all about you. Do you know that?
Yeah.
And that's why emergency faith doesn't work either. Because it's all about you. It's not. It's about loving people. God didn't say go and make Christians. He said go and make disciples. Are you a Christian or are you a disciple? And the root word of disciple is discipline. You have to be disciplined in your walk with the Lord. But God wants you to seek him. So it's not I just ticked a box and said a prayer. And I read my word, and I went to church. It's not, it's waiting on the Lord. It says in the Bible that David inquired of the Lord. seeking is very different. God doesn't want your rituals or your habits, even though they're important. God wants you, and he wants your heart. That's what he wants every day. And we see it with David. Watch this, 1 Samuel. So David asked the Lord, should I go and attack them? Yes, go and save Keilah, the Lord told him. Now, I'm not saying do what David did, go and attack your manager tomorrow morning and work. It's not what we're on. But what I'm pointing out is David asked the Lord and he waited for his reply. David didn't do anything until God told him to do it. And sometimes we can say a prayer to God and we can be praying to God and fasting. But if God doesn't tell you to do something, brothers and sisters, don't do it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. And we see David do it again. 1 Samuel 23. After this, David asked the Lord, should I move back to one of the towns of Judah? Yes, the Lord replied. Watch this. Then David asked, which town should I go to? To Hebron, the Lord answered. So we see David has this pattern of asking God and waiting for the answer. But you see with the first one, should I move back to one of the towns? The Lord's reply was just yes. And there's people in the room who are in this situation prophetically, I believe. You're asking, you've been praying to God, should I move back? Maybe it's should I move back home with your parents? Maybe it's should I move back to that country? And you know God has said yes. But here's what I believe the Lord would say to you. You are to ask him again, where exactly is it? He wants to see that you're willing to seek him. And when God is in something, he will bless it. Amen? Amen? And we should be doing this in our prayer lives. If God tells you, I don't know, there's loads of people who got their Leaving Cert results, didn't we? We have Leaving Cert results over here. And, Don't go there, don't talk about it, love. God doesn't define you by your results. Amen? Amen. Come on.
Amen.
But someone might be praying, I got my exam results. God, do you want me to go to college? And you know God has said yes. The next prayer is, God, what college? That's the next prayer.
Yeah.
So it's going back to God in our prayers. God can say yes. But don't be afraid to ask for a specific answer. Exactly, Juvie, a specific. But David asked, when you ask God, are you waiting on him or do you just want the answer? We're to wait on him, amen. But here's what we see with Saul, King Saul. He was an occasional seeker of God. When Saul was in a crisis, that's when he'd go to God. I hope, brothers and sisters, none of us in the room are just fair day Christians, that we just go to God when something's wrong. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here's what it says in 1 Samuel about Saul. Saul asked the Lord what he should do, but the Lord refused to answer him, either by dreams or by sacred lots or by the prophets. Saul then said to his advisors, find a woman who is a medium so I can go and ask her what to do. Now, Saul does exactly the same as David. He asks God. Great place to start. But you might be thinking, why is the Lord being silent? Why is God, it's a very strong word, refusing to speak to Saul? He is refusing to speak to Saul because Saul is disobedient. God, he's not obeying what God has already told him, or he's only partially obeying it. When you only partially obey what God has asked you to do, brothers and sisters, it's disobedience. So God refuses to speak to him. And here's what we know about God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The issue is not God. The issue is who? Saul. And it can be the same in our lives, brothers and sisters. When God, you feel like God is being silent on you, can I encourage you in this? Number one, what I see a lot of the times, we need to ask for forgiveness on something. says that we learnt about in the tribe blocking with the teenagers, didn't we? Mark 11, have faith in God. But it said, first you need to pray for forgiveness. Didn't we learn that?
Yes.
Teenagers, yes. Come on, like. Yeah, thank you. They put in teeth. I love you too, go on. Thank you, love you. Kisses. Pick and choose, something. Pick and choose. But we learned that. First, you got to ask for forgiveness. It says before it, you can pray and God can move mountains, but you have to ask for forgiveness first. Mark 11, 25. Another thing where God is silent, or people feel like God is silent, is God has told you to do something, but you haven't done it. And until you go back and do that, you're not going to move. It's not going to work. So here's what we see with Saul. He does ask God. God refuses to answer him, but Saul doesn't go back to God and say, God, what have I done? God, why are you refusing to speak to me? He doesn't repent, whereas we see with David throughout the scripture, he does, he repents. And what does Saul do instead? He goes to a medium. He goes to a medium. Now, we preach the word of God here at Grace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And we teach the word of God here at Grace.
Amen.
Do you want some teaching this morning?
Yes.
Thank you, Julie. The support this morning's unreal. Now, we say all the time here at Grace, when it comes to things of a spiritual nature that are demonic, so mediums, witchcraft, palm readers, tarot cards, sage, crystals, you'll hear us consistently, Ouija boards, whatever it is, horoscopes, we say do not touch it. But I'm going to teach you this morning what the Word of God says. Yeah? Because when I die and I see the Lord in heaven one day, I'm answerable for being a pastor, and I'm answerable did I teach you the Word of God. Because
yeah.
Some people don't know the Word of God. But we're going to teach you this morning. Are you with me?
Yes.
Okay. So a medium, if you don't know what that is someone who claims to communicate with the dead, claims, by the way, or with spirits to gain knowledge, guidance, or power. Now you might say, Dara, I'm not calling to a medium. I'm not around that. People are. People around you, whether that's in work, your neighbourhood, even on TikTok, it's popping up for people all the time. It's in our world. People are saying, I have a bit of sage, I'm going to burn sage at home, I'm going to have crystals, I have a dream catcher. We know these people?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And a lot of them are women, by the way. That's my experience of it. And it's like it's nothing. So here's what the Bible says about it. We go to Leviticus. Do not defile yourselves by turning to mediums or to those who consult the spirits of the dead. I am the Lord your God. Now that's very clear, isn't it?
Yes.
But we're going to make it clearer. Here's what it says again in Leviticus. God is saying, I will turn against those who commit spiritual prostitution, ouch, by putting their trust in mediums or in those who consult the spirits of the dead. I will cut them off from the community. Very strong words. But it is spiritual prostitution, because you can't go to God on one thing and then turn to demonic things on others. You can't. You can't serve two masters. You either serve God or you serve the devil, and you choose which one. But as for me and my house, we will
serve the Lord.
So you choose. But you're putting your trust in mediums. And we read at the start, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Who are you trusting? God. And some people here might say, well, that's Old Testament, Dara. I need some New Testament teaching, a new covenant. No bother, boo-boo, I got that for you too. Here we go. Galatians 5. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery. In the original word, it goes back to witchcraft. Hostility, quarrelling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very clear. And will I do one more? Man, while we're here, we go Book of Revelation. People say they don't teach in the Book of Revelation. Well, let me teach you. Here we go. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Ouch. Brothers and sisters, when it comes to things of a spiritual nature, and it is not the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord is very clear. Are you trusting in the Lord, or are you trusting in something else? So, you know what the word of God says now, don't you?
Yes.
Go spread the news. Amen. Tell people, amen?
Amen.
Amen. But here's what we know. Mediums don't connect you to the truth, they disconnect you from God. Don't play with them. Don't play with any of it. So what did we see with Saul? He didn't wait on God. He didn't go back to God and say, God, have I done something? God, show me your ways. I surrender to your wills. God, I want to trust you. He didn't do anything like that. Instead, here's what we see. Saul just wanted an answer. He didn't want God, and he didn't want the truth. He just wanted an answer. And there's Christians, and that's what they want. They just want an answer. They'll go from person to person. What do you think I should do? Boo-boo, you need to go to Jesus. It's not about what they think. Because whatever answer someone gives you, it won't satisfy. It won't be right. And if they get it wrong, you're going to blame them. And instead, we should be going to God. And we don't go to God because we're angry. And we don't go to God because we're in pain. And we have to be honest with him. We don't go to God because we'll have to admit, God, I don't know where I'm at with you. And instead, we'll go to something else. We learned last week, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be filled with something else. And when we don't go to God for answers, when we don't want God himself, it never works. And we're not going to get the truth. You'll get an answer, but it won't be the truth. And here's what we know. What's the Bible say? The truth shall set you free. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, don't be like a Saul. And you're going, God is silent on me. No, he's not. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you need to go back and do what he's asked you to do. Maybe you need to stop asking other people, what should I do, and go back to God and ask him what I should do. Because it's your spirit, it's your responsibility. We can support you, love you, we can do all that, but I can't save you. I can't fix your situation. Only the Lord can do that. I can't heal your heart. I can't bring you comfort in the middle of the night. That's the Lord. And here's what we saw. Saul treated God like a last resort. David treated God like a first response. How do you treat God? Because I know how God treats you.
Hallelujah.
You know God loves you. You know you can call on God anytime. You know that he is your provider. You know that he's going to protect you.
Hallelujah.
But do you do the same to God? Do you give to God what he's given to you? Do you love people like he loves you? Or do we just call God in a crisis? I'm bad again, Lord. I'm back in church. No. It's good to come back to church. Come any way that you are, but we don't stay like that. God wants us to love him and have the heart like David. What did we learn? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Read it with me. And lean not on
your own understanding.
In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Praise God.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, will you stand with me wherever you're at? I'm going to invite the worship team up. My prayer is very simple today, that we would do what that scripture says, that we would trust in the Lord with all our hearts this week, amen?
Amen.
That we wouldn't get so caught up in our heads and our thinking, and that we would surrender to God. My prayer is that this week, no matter what happens, that God would be your first response before you even put your feet on the floor in the morning, that you'd be saying, thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
That he would be with you throughout the day.
Hallelujah.
But we're going to sing a song, Father, let your kingdom come, and then we're going to pray. Over to the worship band. Sing.
Father, let your kingdom come.
Put your other hand on your head, wherever you're at. And let's pray over you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you will never let us down. And I pray for every single person with a hand over their heart this week. Help us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to trust in you only with all of our hearts. Not to trust in demonic things, not to trust in powers, not to trust in money, not to trust in our ability, but to trust in you, Lord. I pray for those of us with a hand on our heads, Heavenly Father. God, you know the minds here and how busy they can be. For some people, you can't even shut your mind off. You struggle with sleep at night. Even in your dreams, it's nightmares about what's going on. God is a God that sees that and knows that. And I pray for those who struggle with their sleep and struggle with nightmares, Lord, that your peace would come over them tonight. That any attack of the enemy on their house and on their head would not succeed by the name of Jesus. We say, hands off, Satan. Get out of their house. Get out of their head. I pray, God, that your peace would come over their minds, and that they would trust and know and lean on what you are doing, Lord. I pray for everyone in this room, God, that we would have the humility to surrender and submit to what you want. Help us, Lord, when we're confused. Help us, Lord, emotionally. Help us, Lord, with the transitions of things. But God, even a mustard seed of faith is all we need. Help us, Lord, to believe that you can move these mountains in our lives. And we know, God, you're going to make our path straight. So over the week ahead, God, whether rain or shine, whether in sickness or in health, whether we're surrounded or we're alone, we ask you, God, to be with us. Let you, Heavenly Father, be enough for us. Not the answer, but you, God. Help us to wait until you speak to us, Lord. Help us that we would have everyday faith and not just emergency faith like Saul. I pray, God, over everyone in this room that you would bless them this week as they go to work, as they go back to school, as they get ready, Lord, for the days ahead, that you and your angels would surround them and their loved ones. Give them favor in whatever they do. Protect them, Lord, from any attack of the enemy, and keep them safe until we meet again. We love you, Lord, and today we choose to pick the path of following you every day. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause. Hallelujah.